Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for the podcast. Now, today we have a very exciting guest on board. Now, with Kelly, she has gone through, what really resonated with me with Kelly is that she's gone through very similar things to what I've gone through. And I just love that she's using this online dating, swipe right effect type thing to promote her book, what her book is about. But yeah, it really, really resonated well with me because I went through the long marriage and then the divorce and then the what next, you know, wanting to have a relationship, but not really wanting to have a relationship, but wanting to have a relationship, but not really wanting to, you know, like we do. So I really resonated with what Kelly was sharing with her because it is, we look for love in different ways. And it's so different from when I first started dating as a younger, you know, 18, 20 year old type thing to what it is now. So I'm really looking forward to this. So welcome on board the show, Kelly. How are you going?
Hi, doing great, thank you.
That's good. And apparently you've had a few podcasts today because, of course, Kelly's in the USA, so it's afternoon for her or even early evening, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep, 6 p.m.
Yeah, and it's early morning here for us. So she's had a few podcasts on today, so she may need a couple of glasses of water as we're going. Might have been talking a lot. But look, the first thing I like to ask is a bit more about your life, just your life in general, how you got to where you are, because then I want to go in a little bit deeper about the situations that you had and how you got through them. So we just want to get that overall general understanding of point A to point B type thing.
Okay. Well, I was married 31 years and we had three children and I was a small business owner. I started with a partner and we owned online newspapers in our Middle Tennessee area. And we had built that up. My partner exited, so I was sole owner. And in 2017, we just had this like trifecta of change. My youngest daughter graduated from college, so all of the kids were gone. My husband and I were getting a divorce, and I had to sell my business because of that. And it was overwhelming to think about who am I, what am I going to do? Everything that I related myself to the outside world had gone. And I just didn't know my what's next. And I just had to start working through that and healing. I hiked the Camino de Santiago, a 500-mile hike in Spain. I actually met somebody from Australia on that hike. And that was the beginning of my healing. And then fast forward to writing a book in 2022.
Right. And it does sound very, very similar to my story too, because I was only a 20-year marriage, but my youngest was heading off to university. And yeah, so I was going through that sort of an emptiness sort of a situation. The relationship was well and truly not good. And my whole, we were on an organic crop farm and then moved into the town. So even my work area had changed a lot too. So why do you feel that we for some reason, we need to go through these major changes, but have them all hit at once?
Yeah, maybe it's because transformation is required. I was 52 when it happened, and I was already searching at a deeper level for something. I didn't know what. And I find that a lot of women in their 50s are that way. And so I hate to say the universe did anything to me, but the universe definitely provided an opportunity for me to grow, to go deeper, to learn to love myself. And it was, yeah, I don't know. It did all come at once. I mean, the business being sold was a direct result of the divorce. So those two kind of came hand in hand, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is hard. It is very challenging. And I remember looking back at mine, because I was, like you said, I was doing a lot of work on myself, because I couldn't work out how to fix the relationship. So my relationship was well and truly on the skids for a long time. And I was very aware of that. And I was putting a lot of things in place, but I couldn't change him, because that's not my role anyway. And that's not my expectation had to change. So I could change myself, and that's what I started to do. I started to change myself. But of course, as we are changing and transforming, and if we're not doing it as quick as the universe wants us to do it, or we yet still haven't taken that next step, the next plunge.
Yep.
and they normally do that, and that's what it is. But I also think sometimes when we're going through that stage where we're starting to go, well, the kids have left home, that's when we do start looking at our lives, don't we? Because if you're not happy in your marriage, once the kids leave home, that's all you've got. That's what you've got as a family. I mean, the kids will always be your family, but you've got to really start to look at who you are and what you're doing. So when you got to that stage, what were some of the things that you started doing, and what were some of the things you were experiencing?
Well, the hike definitely changed a lot of things for me. It's a spiritual hike, and I learned a lot from the other hikers or pilgrims, as they call them. And I learned about making space for other people. I learned to be a better listener. I feel like learning that lesson made me a better friend, a better mother, a better lover, a better daughter, a better sister. I think, you know, before I was always just driving forward. I was just a doer and a go-getter. And when somebody needed me to listen, sometimes I would find myself inserting me into that conversation instead of just listening and receiving, which is what they needed. I would say, oh, I know exactly how you feel. Or, oh, that happened to me too. Yeah. This is what I did. And so that was my greatest lesson from the Camino, was how to become a better listener. And that made me a better boss. And now it's made, you know, helped me become a coach, that I can listen and not insert myself. I think it was that. And I mean, I deepened my meditation practice, my yoga practice. And I think it just, I went home prepared to deal with the divorce and the selling of the home and all of that. But it was important what I learned there.
Yeah, the Santiago, the Camino walk is just amazing. And you did the big one. So how long, you did 500 Ks, didn't you?
Was it 800 K, 500 miles.
Whoa. How long did that take you? I've got some friends doing it this year as well.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
again next year. Yeah, it took me 38 days.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So that gives people an understanding. And I know that there's lots of ways to go through the healing side of things. And of course, we never ever stop. But where I probably did it over a period of 8 to 10 years, slowly, you've done it over a period of just over a month. Fastly, if that makes sense. And I can really see that, because to do something like that, the Camino walk is it's like a stop. You're not going any further. This is what you've got to do. You've got to go within as you're walking, and it's amazing opportunity, and highly recommended. Because that's what you're doing. But if you can't do that, there is other ways. And like I said, I did it a slow way. I wish I had the opportunity. I wish I'd known about the Camino Walk back in those days.
I was lucky.
So because that's the sort of thing I would love to have done, and brought about those changes in a real confident, positive manner that took me 8 years to do. It took you a lot quicker to do. So it's a great way to do it. All right. So you were going through the divorce, going through the selling of the property, selling of the business, and you went on the Camino Walk before that was all done, or did you go on the Camino Walk after?
Before. So it was when my husband's affair came out. It was like October, and December I decided to go. I just had sign after sign after sign. A friend of mine had told me about it. He kept saying, you need to go, you need to go. And he had done it twice. And he kept saying, it saved my life. I want you to go. I want you to go. And I got all these signs in a really short period of time. So December 9th, 2017, I said, I'm going. And I left April 29th, the day after my mom's birthday, and hiked it. And so I had the 4 months, filed for divorce and trained and prepped the business for me to be gone for 7 weeks. And then I left and did the Camino. The divorce was not final for another year, unfortunately.
that takes a bit longer. Okay, so that's really cool because you knew what was happening, you knew where you were going, and you gave yourself that space to understand who you were, understand what was happening, and go with it. And I love how you said all the signs, because of course that's intuition, and that's where I sort of go, oh yeah, I like that bit. But it is seeing those signs. It is, you know, like if somebody's listening to this and they've gone, no, I heard about the Camino Walk before, it's another sign. It's another way you're receiving this information intuitively. So really, that's really cool. All right. So you've got this. So you've come back, and then we have to sort of, because you're in a new frame of mind, and I would imagine you would have a confidence that was very different to the confidence that you had before.
Yes.
That inner confidence, isn't it? It's that inner strength.
Yeah. To have done something that difficult and have done it basically alone. You meet people along the way and you end up with a Camino family, but to, you know, get on that plane and leave America to go do it, it definitely builds confidence. And the other thing that happened while I was there is people were saying, like, we see you, we see your heart. We know you're hurting, but we also see how strong you are. You know, you need to relearn how strong you are. You need to focus on your power and your, you know, choose to be happy. Don't wallow in the sadness and the pain. And that was, you know, learning that, beginning that, and somebody who didn't know me, a complete stranger, saying, you are strong. I can see it. You're going to get through this and you're going to be okay. And then other people saying, you know, I went through that 5 years ago and I'm happier than I've ever been. And you look at them and think, oh yeah, right. But it's true.
Yeah, it is hard. Yeah. It's okay to see the after effect, but you know, it's when you're in the before, you're still living it. You sort of go, yeah, okay. Yeah. Right. So Kelly, so you've gone through all that, you've got home, you've come back with a different mindset, I guess, that was, you know, different heart strength. And then you go through the process of the divorce, you know, getting your life on track. Now, I want to talk a little bit about your book, because I think, did you start your book very soon after that, or did you start it a bit late? So can you lead us up to how you got from the messiness there to where you've decided, I'm going to write a book?
When I sold the business, part of the contract was I had to stay for 3 years and keep running it for them. And so I had this kind of a benefit of having a 3-year runway. I had time to think about if I wanted to stay, if I needed to do something different. I could dabble in looking for a different job. But I, you know, I continued to build the company for them. I was then on salary instead of being a business owner, and I had health benefits, and it was actually a nice, safe runway for me. And during that time, you know, I started dating, and that was good. And then COVID hit, and my daughter had just moved back from Sydney. She had been there for a year on the holiday work visa. She came home and was headed to New York City. Well, New York City was one of the worst places for COVID. So she ended up staying with me for a year and a half. And that was actually really amazing. Strange, because she left as my child and came back as a woman. And so I had the benefit of having a year and a half with her. And, you know, we were both kind of healing together as the years went on. And she was, it was kind of strange, but she's dating and I'm dating. And but, you know, we worked it all out. Well, about 9 months before my 3 years was up, I was like, I need to do something different. I knew that my time in the publishing business was done. And I went to my brother and I said, I've had this crazy idea. He's my financial advisor. So I went to him and said, you know, I've saved all my money from the bonuses. I've saved the money from the house. And, you know, I'm in pretty good shape. So what if I took off, what if I retire from this industry and I take off a year and I travel all over, maybe even 2 years, and then I'll figure out where I want to go after that. And we ran the numbers. We did this, we could run it with the budget for, you know, this much as a budget or this much as a budget. And we decided it was doable. And so I gave notice at work. I sold my house and I sold everything, but sold everything but my car. And I left that for my daughter to take care of. And just completely changed my life. I let go of all the baggage of the marriage, the pots and pans, the furniture, the photo albums, that, you know, everything was, what was left was in a tiny little storage unit. And it was so freeing. It was like everything that I gave away, it just felt like I was getting lighter and lighter. And by the end, I just felt like I had wings. And I traveled for a year and came up with the idea for the book as I was trying to increase my gratitude practice and be more intentional about it. And I started realizing the gifts I had been given by my friends and my family that came as advice or understanding or, and that's, the book became basically a pay it forward. This is what I learned because these people were generous to me. And I want to share it with you.
Yeah. The similarities are just quite astounding, actually. And I don't mean to insert myself into this interview, but they really are, because I did basically the same. I bought him out of the house because I had the steady job and everything else. I bought him out of the house, and then I wanted to do the same. I just needed a change. So I didn't sell the house. I put it up as a rental, but I had to get rid of everything. And again, pots and pans. I went into a granny flat. Now, a granny flat was just a bedroom and a little sort of a kitchenette and a bathroom, lounge, kitchenette, bathroom. So it was really, really tiny. So again, I had to get rid of all my pots and pans. I wasn't cooking for a family of five anymore. I had to get rid of all of that. And I really get where you're saying, because it's really cathartic. It's, you get rid of all that. You're getting rid of all the emotions that are attached to it. You're getting rid of everything. And I remember I had a couple of boxes left over, and I looked at them not too long ago, and I looked at them and I thought, they don't mean anything anymore.
Right.
All those things, that those last little bits and pieces that I had to hold on to, I look at now and I go, you know what? They don't mean anything. And they've all gone now. So yeah.
I just moved and brought stuff out of storage.
Yeah.
And I didn't have time to look at it because we'd had a family emergency. And so that my timeline had to speed up. And so I took everything out of storage unit, brought it up to Rhode Island. And this past week, I have been unpacking all of those the memories and the photos and not a lot of photo albums, but, you know, just interesting things like that were from my grandparents. And I'm really glad I kept those things. Things that had been bought were easy to let go, but now that I have hindsight, I can look and say, I am glad I didn't get rid of everything. Cause at one point I wanted to, and my kids were like, you know, you always really liked that vase from grandma. So I am glad I saved my artwork. And so I'm so happy to see that painting. I hadn't seen it in 2 years.
It's important. And when you're holding on to them, and one of the things that I did when I was doing that was to go through it and go, okay, this stuff I can throw out. They've got no attachment. This stuff, I like it. I'm not throwing it out, but I might give it to a charity. And this stuff, I don't know. And then the last stuff I want to keep. And I'd go through each room. I think I did each room 3 times until I got it right down to just the stuff I wanted to keep.
I like that idea, going room to room.
And people are going through relationship breakdowns and things like that. This is really important. And I actually feel sorry for my ex, because he didn't have that opportunity to go through that. He just walked out. He refused to touch any. He just walked out. And he did not have the opportunity to let go of some of those, the crap you hold on to. He didn't have that opportunity. And I think to myself, you're crazy. You know, you had that opportunity and you'd let it go.
Right.
Well, yeah, so it's really important. So if anyone is going through that, these are the little steps that what Kelly's talking about are the little steps that you take. You don't realize you're taking until you look back on it. And then you go, okay, I followed my gut. I followed my intuition. It told me to hold on to that. I wasn't sure. I held on to it. I'm glad I did. Or there's other things. I know that there's a few things that I let go and I wish I hadn't of.
Oh, yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. But you're right about the intuition. I did follow my intuition, especially about the artwork. And I was really glad that I did that, because some of it was, attached to a memory. I like to buy art or small pieces of jewelry when I travel. And so a lot of that was attached to my travels, even after my divorce. And so I was really glad that I kept that. And the other thing that I did was, I shared things, like special paintings. I have this beautiful wooden bowl. I gave my bed to someone, and we called it shared custody. Like if I ever came back and wanted it, I could have it. And I have gone back and gotten a few things, but for the most part, they loved the art that I had, or they loved the bed. And I was like, well, it's a great bed. If you want to take it, but they always insisted, if you ever want it, you can have it back. So we just laughingly called it shared custody of my art and my bed.
It's almost like giving your puppy away or something. It's gone to a good home. So, you know, yeah, you'd like it back, but it is in a good home, you know. It's happy. Oh, Kelly, that's incredible. So, yeah, I really understand that the way you're going through it. And I love that you've seen it happening. You're watching this. It's almost like you're watching a train wreck in slow motion. You take yourself away from it. You did the Camino. I lived in it and took myself away by getting books and having, you know, my space. So those two different ways. And then once it's happened, again, you want to change your life around. And it doesn't have to be as major as moving out, but it can help. You know, moving out can sound like a lot of work and everything else, but there has so many benefits to it as well. All right, so now you've got your own little space there. What's next? Because I know, and I'm sure you did the same, you start to look for love again. You know, you've done a lot of work on yourself, but you sort of go, well, hang on, I've done a lot of work on myself. What about me? I want some loving as well. So what did you do, and how did that go through?
Well, when I settled in Rhode Island last September, I had the book completely outlined. And so I knew I was going to write the book. But I've also been in this searching mode, reading all of these different books, about success and about self-love and meditation. And I signed up for a yoga teacher training. I signed up on Mind Valley and to take a course by Catherine Woodward Thomas, and it was called Calling in the One. And so it's a 49-day straight through 7-week program, and you're in it every day. And, you know, she starts off saying, okay, dream for yourself. Who do you want this to be, you know, in your life? What do you want the one to look like, sound like, feel like? And then she immediately, you know, it's kind of bait and switch. She immediately makes you start working on yourself. And so I did that for 7 straight weeks. And then and I had just come back from Italy, that which was my last hurrah on the year of travel. And it was so good to kind of just have this cathartic, like, look how far I've come, but also see the opportunity that I have to continue to work on myself. And so that book is amazing. I recommend it. And I after I did that, I had a new life purpose defined. I had a new vision for myself. I had all these different new mantras and practices that were directly related to me finding my new love. And I feel like I've always had a good attitude about dating. And since I had done that work, I felt like, well, now I'm one of the things Catherine says is you want to put out into the world, you want to be who you want to date. If yes. You want kindness, empathy, travel, love of sailing, then you need to be that and represent that as what you, the energy and the law of attraction that you're putting out into the world so that they can find you. If you want that, but you're not actually that yourself, it's never going to happen. And so I was really focused on that. I talked to my friends about it when I went out on dates. I mean, I didn't say you're not a sailor, so I'm not going to fall in love with you, but, but I had that attitude of, I'm here to have an adventure. Like, dating is an adventure, meeting new people I never would have met without that dating app. And I just looked at it like, you might become my friend, you might be my lover, who knows, but I'm prepared to receive this person when we find each other. And that's what I've done, is just keep focusing on that.
So you're focusing definitely on the positive side of that, the dating, because I know that dating, and I mean, your book is all about swiping right, but I know dating can be like, I had two bites at it. So I had a bite earlier on at internet dating. I remember having a try at that and hated it, absolutely hated it. And all of those yucky stories that you hear, that was all I could see, you know, like, yeah. Oh my goodness, this is going to happen. Because it's quite terrifying when you're not used to that to start with. But the second bite, so I went off it for a little while, but the second bite I had on it, I had, like you said, a different mindset. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at it in a different way. And I met some wonderful men that were really nice people. Yeah. I eventually met the partner that I'm with now. And I've been with him for over 10 years, 12 years now.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it can happen. But we do need to be, like you said, you need to be putting out there what you want. You can't turn around and say, I want somebody who's trustworthy, and then you tell lies.
Yeah.
Because what you're doing is not, you know, so if you start telling lies, then you're going to get somebody that comes back and tells lies. And that's what you're attracting, because you're putting it out there. So when you say you've got to become who you are, I think that's what I did from that one section, as far as relationships go, from that section to that section was what I did. I started to look at it in a different way. And when you start to put yourself out there. I know I've said to other people in when I've been doing some counseling or coaching with them, is that if you, like you say, love sailing, Don't sit in your backyard and pretend that you like it. Get out there and do it. Because
Yes,
if
I
you
went to
want
lessons. Yeah.
to, exactly. If you want to do sailing, if you want to meet somebody who does sailing, you're better off being out there, and you're more guaranteed to find somebody at least that likes sailing. But sitting in
Right.
your own home or in your own backyard, you're not going to find that. So,
Right. I would say too, the other big change that came over me from the beginning of dating to dating now is, you know, because of what happened, and there had been an affair and there had been gaslighting, you know, that there's nothing wrong. You're just working too hard. There's nothing wrong, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
I had always been very in touch with my intuition. I followed my gut. Well, with all of that gaslighting, I was like, I didn't know where to go, what to do, what to believe. And I stopped believing in my own intuition. And later, of course, that it comes out that there's an affair, and I'm like, oh, I was right all along. But it still became very confusing when I went into dating, whether to trust my intuition or not. So, you know, later, after I had some healing and I worked on myself, I realized there I am. I'm back in touch with that. I trust myself again. I feel it in my body now when I know it's right. And instead of having a fear that I might be wrong, I know what I know and I feel what I feel. And so now dating is a completely different experience because I trust my intuition.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you. Those beautiful words. I love it. Okay. Now, because I want to start talking about your book now. So what is your book about? I can't remember the title of it. I thought I had it written down somewhere, but I can't see it. I want to know the title. And I know it's got Swipe Right in it somewhere along the line. And I want to sort of get the understanding of it, like the breakdown of your book.
It's called The Swipe Right Effect, The Power to Get Unstuck. And so most people probably know these days, but when you are on the dating apps, you swipe right if you're choosing someone, you swipe left if you're not choosing them. And right in the beginning of the book, I say, you know, this is a play on words, because the swipe right, I want you to choose yourself. I want you to choose yourself. I want you to work on yourself. I want you to love yourself. And then once you do that, once you know you love yourself, the effect of that is you take back your power, you become unstuck, and that's when you're really open enough to find new love. If you even figure out that that's what you do want. Sometimes you figure out that's not what you want, or you're not right now. And so it's about choosing yourself. And each chapter is a piece of it. I went to my friends that gave me the advice and said, can I interview you? This is what I want to talk about. When you told me I needed a vision board and what you saw in me. And so every chapter is a piece of advice. And then I interview the person who gave me the advice. And we also hear their story. And they were really open and honest. And I gave them all aliases so that they could be really honest without worrying about offending family members, or, you know, some of them are remarried now. And so, because I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, I gave everybody a country music star name.
That's a good idea. So you've got, really like it, because you've got, so each chapter you've got somebody else that you're interviewing, you've got tips and tricks and ideas and ways to go forward. So it's a real personal development type book.
It is. And there's empowerment practices in each chapter as well. So when we talk about, you know, Brandy from Sweden, I met her on the Camino Trail, and she's like, have you ever done a vision board? And I was one of those people, I hate to admit it, but I was like, no, I don't do that. And she was like, all right, you need one. If I ever saw it. And she said, what do you want? And I said, I just know what I don't want. I don't know what I want yet. And so she had me pull out my phone, and I opened the notes app, and I started writing down words of what I wanted. You know, I want to travel with my daughters. I want to learn how to do, I want to salsa dance. You know, just different little things that I could do. And then it was kind of like, where do you want to be? And so she just had me, because she's like, you're a writer. Let's use words. You don't need pictures and a poster board. just make a list of words. And that was on day two of the Camino. I ended up talking to probably 100 people about that technique of starting a vision board that way, and got other people doing it. And so it was like Brandy saying that to me on day two ended up inspiring other people to do the same thing. And we would be, and I would be saying, what do you like, Lindsay? And Lindsay would say, oh, well, I like it when, somebody really holds my hand in a specific way. So I was like, oh, me too. So we put that on our list, you know, something sweet and specific like that, that makes you feel loved and human.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember doing something that way too. It was, but I like you, had trouble going, I don't know what I want, because I experienced the gaslighting and God, they're so similar. I experienced all that too. But I remember thinking, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I want. And then somebody said to me, well, write down everything you don't know you want. And then I had to do another column and write the opposite. So if I don't want that, what do you want? If I don't want that, what do you want? And then I could focus on the positive as well. So I could get rid of the negative and focus on the positive. But, yeah, using words, using images, you know, whatever it is that you need to take you forward. But it's making you look forward. And if you put this down, if somebody was listening to this podcast because they do want to have a relationship, they're looking for love, then one of the things that I did, which is similar to that, is when I did go and meet somebody for a coffee, if there was something it didn't feel right, I could put that down and then go, okay, I want somebody that, again, do that. That was the negative. That's what I didn't like about it.
Yes.
This is what I liked. And I started to get more and more of the what I like in the person. Yeah. Yeah. And that then when I, because that was the first part, when I went back the second time, I had a better understanding. And then you could wean out those ones that, that doesn't appeal to me. I'm not saying that they're bad. They just don't appeal to me. But this does, you know, how they're, and I'm a word person too, because I'm an author as well. What they had written in their bio was really important. It was
you learn to decipher the bio. It wasn't intuitive for me in the beginning, but then once I learned from experience of who I was going out with and what they had said about themselves, how they had represented themselves, then you kind of get in a rhythm of being able to understand what somebody's trying to portray. And it's not like they were, I'm not saying anybody was trying to be dishonest, but how I interpreted what they were saying may have been incorrect. And so you start following your instincts on, okay, somebody who's never been married or doesn't have kids may not be the right person for me because I'm really devoted to my kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I even found ones that didn't use capitals or full stops. Didn't use. I know, how nerdy am I, but would I be able to hold a good conversation with them? You know, if they're, or we like, I like long walks on the beach and you come from the middle of Australia or all the, you know, you sort of go, are you saying what you feel I want to hear? Or are you actually being honest and truthful? You know, right. So these are ways that we can look at it. But again, I go back, Kelly, and I go, you had to go through all that. You had to go through all that learning before you could sit there and comfortably go, I can swipe right to that person or I can swipe left. And that's because you knew you. And that's what your book helps.
Yeah, it is all about getting to know yourself and loving yourself and really being able to reframe some of that pain. One of the lessons is from, I hiked a second Camino in 22 and I met Allison, and she asked me the question that absolutely knocked me on my behind. And she said, what if he did this and he had this affair with this woman so that you could grow and change and do something much greater than you ever would have done had you stayed married to him? What if this is happening so that you get to go on and do greater things? And that blew my mind. Yes, to try yes. to think like that. And
it's not so, like you've changed anything apart from how you're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. And so I thought it opened my mind to, you know what? You're right. I'm going to go on and do greater things. This is what's going to happen. I'm not going to sit back and not do something, you know, because I'm sad or frustrated or angry or rejected or all of those things. I am strong. I can do this, and I'm going to go on and do better things. And that was probably 4 months before the book came to me.
Okay. It's almost like you can thank them then. You can almost say, oh, thank you for doing that. Thank you for having the affair, because look at me go, you know, it's almost like lighting a fire rocket, and off I go. I can do better things, greater things, you know. Oh, that's really cool. Now, can you please just go back over your book, your name and everything, the name of the book and all that, because I haven't got my ticker tape going today. Okay. If you can just run through that again and just give us a little bit more about, you know, what they're going to get out of it, how it's going to help them, because I just want to give that one more plug because it sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's called The Swipe Right Effect, The Power to Get Unstuck. And I am actually going to be releasing a workbook this summer to a companion workbook to expands on the empowerment practices. But every chapter is my story, the piece of advice that was given me, and the interview with the person who gave me the advice. And then you hear their story too. So it's my memoir, but it's also 10 other little mini memoirs from 10 different women who've all been through very different things. It's not all just about divorce. It's women who lost their husbands, women who lost their child, people who've just been through a very big life change, like a loss of a job or something. You know, it's not just about divorce, and it's not just about dating. And at the end, we talk about dating, and we talk about what there's a great Maya Angelou quote about believe them when someone tells you about themselves, believe them the first time. So it's like different dating stories that happened to me, like when I didn't listen to what somebody was telling me about themselves. And at the end, chapter 12, the last chapter, we actually talk about dating and safety thing, you know, things you should do and not do, and how to prepare your profile if you decide to go online. And so really anybody could get a lot out of chapters 1 through 10. And then the last two chapters are really a lot more about dating. And it's available online and Amazon, and there's an Audible version, and it's on Kindle and other online books.
Beautiful. And there'll be a link to your website in the descriptions here as well, so people can get it from there. Kelly, that was amazing. Thank you so much. I'm really, you know, a bit spun out about how similar our journey
is. I know. It's been awesome.
I know. I did the same. It's like, oh, there's a book there. Let's write a book. Mine's different to yours. But it's, it's amazing how we go through these things, how cathartic they are, how we can improve. And one of the things that I always thought is that the more this is how I feel anyway, the more I'm sharing the tidbits, the information, the understandings that I've got, the more I feel they're helping others, but they're also helping me. They're securing that, because we've learned so much. We've learned so much that we forget it all. I forget a lot of it, and you tend to live it without realizing. So to write it in a book or to share it on a podcast, it just, you get those aha moments and go, oh, yeah, that's right, I did that, you know. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. It's lovely chatting with people like yourself.
Yeah, 100%. And now I've got my own podcast, same name as the book. And it's, you know, I want to keep having these conversations. I want to keep having people on because I want to learn and just let my listeners come along with me. And that's been really fun. I just recorded episode 13.
Good girl.
Near like you, Susan, but I'm trying.
And look, podcasts are they're a passion. I mean, it's not like the big high ones that get all the money and everything else, on our level, it's a real passion, and you can hear that in the people that you interview, and it's so nice. I'm usually stuck in this office for a long, long hours, so it's lovely to actually be communicating with people, especially across the other side of the world, that you resonate with straight away, and it's brilliant. But we're running out of time. Have you got any last little tidbit information for us before we say goodbye?
I do give away a free chapter, and you can find that on my website at ckcollins.co. And anybody who wants to try reading the first chapter and see if it's something they want to invest in, you're welcome to it.
Ah, beautiful. Thank you for that. All right, so stay where you are, and I will be back to you for in a sec. Let me press the right buttons. So guys, jump onto the website. It is down, it'll be down in the description there, so you'll be able to have a look at it. Have a look at the first chapter. It's there for free. You might as well have a look at it. And I really feel that even if you're getting the book just for the dating side of it, I really feel you need to go through it step by step. Some of these books that we get, if we can go through and just test them, check them out, have a look. You know, if Kelly says try meditation for all, have a try. Just experience the different things, because it might not always resonate with you, but there might be something in there that you didn't know about that does resonate with you. And even if you sometimes force yourself to do it, like Kelly did with the vision board, when you start to go that way, you start to go, oh, okay, it's not as bad as what I thought. In fact, it's bloody good. So let's have a keep going with it. So jump on, grab a look at the book, have a look at the first part, and go from there. I better stop talking because I'm going to run out of time. Have a great week, everyone, and we will see you. Share, like, subscribe to the podcast, and we will see you all next week. So I'm saying bye for now. See you guys.